Luke chapter 6 tonight, verse 47, Luke chapter 6 and verse 47, where the Bible says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and it could not shake it." Notice that. Underline those three, four words. It could not shake it. It could not shake it. Think of this. A lot of people are being shaken today in their faith. A lot of people are being shaken today in their convictions and their standards, their homes. They're letting down the wall of separation. And the Bible says this family here, this man's life, it could not be shaken, for it was founded upon a rock. But in verse 49, "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately," I had you to circle that word this morning, "immediately it fell." No warning, no sirens, no forewarning, but it immediately fell. "And the ruin of that house was great." The ruin of that house was great. I began this morning dealing with a subject for our hope for a home month on this thought, how to stormproof my home. How to stormproof our homes tonight. And we find this story here in Luke chapter 6. We also find the same story in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew has a little bit more to say as far as what kind of men these two men are. Luke says, calls them a man. But Matthew calls one a wise man that built his house upon a rock. A foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And there were two houses and two men, but yet there was one storm and two different results. One storm, and I reiterated this morning, the storm is coming, the clouds are gathering, and there's a storm a brewing and a coming against your family, my family, and God wants us tonight to stormproof our homes against the storms of life. Jesus said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." We're going to face some things before Jesus comes, and we're not immune to facing heartache. We're not immune to facing loss in our family. I was up early this morning, and I was counting down the hours. 3 years ago today, my dad passed away, February the 10th. And 3 years ago today, February the 10th, 2010. And as I sat there and watched the clock this morning, they had on his death certificate that his passing occurred around 6:30, somewhere in that neighborhood, 6:30 a.m. on that Tuesday morning. And I was counting down the clock, and I said, "Well, this time 3 years ago, Dad only had 2 hours to go. I wonder if he knew that. Surely he didn't. He had an hour to go, 30 minutes to go, 15 minutes to go, 5 minutes of life left, according to the death certificate, and then Dad stepped out to eternity." You know, I think about all these things here, and I think about the results and all the trouble that happens in our homes, the storms that come, and the heartaches that come. How are we going to survive these days? How are we going to get through the death of a loved one, the setback of a loss of a job, a financial reversal, a physical setback, a week in the hospital, a bad doctor's report, or whatever it may be, a storm is coming our way. We've got to stormproof our families and our homes. And we talked about some things today. We looked at these two words up there in verse 48, where the man, the Bible says, the man, look at it, digged deep. And we understand that Jesus Christ is talking about a man's life here. And we use those two words, dig deep, as an acronym today. And we began to take each letter and derive a word from what these letters represented, some things that we need to put into our homes that will stormproof our home. By way of a rehearsal here, review, let's look at the word dig right quick, and we'll just touch on some of these here and get to the word deep. We covered the word dig this morning, and we said here that if my home is going to have any chance of surviving, then there must be, number one, a determination. The letter D there, the word D, a determination. Listen, nothing we know can be accomplished apart from the power and the grace and the working of God. And I said this morning, we must determine in our heart to stay the course. We must determine to survive the quitting spots. We must determine to see it through to the very end. We must determine to seek God's face together. And then we talked about the letter I. We must have godly influence in our families. I asked this morning, I'll ask you again tonight, who are you allowing to influence your family? Who are your children's heroes tonight? Who do you look up to? Who do you respect? Listen, who are the heroes of our homes? Listen, we should have heroes that honor and fear the Lord. We should have heroes that honor and respect the Word of God. We should have heroes that love God and love the people of God and love the house of God and love the things of God and love the things God loves and hates the thing God hates. Those are the kind of heroes our children need. That's the kind of hero I need. I need to hang around people. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:17 that iron sharpeneth iron. And listen, we need to be careful who we fellowship with and who we allow to influence our life. Whether it's through television programs, through reading material, or whatever it may be, we must be careful who we allow to influence our life, because a lot of times it's not all about education, it's more about influence. And then we talked about the letter G there. If our house is going to survive the storm, it must have the gospel in our house. The gospel. My mother said, I was the first to tell my children about Jesus. Listen, the gospel must be and should be lived out inside of our homes. Don't leave the responsibility, dear friend, up to the pastor, up to the Sunday school teacher, up to the youth worker to tell and teach your children about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, mom, dad, take it upon yourself to have the gospel inside of your home. When we get up in the morning, at least when I do, I go in the house there in the kitchen, I get my little coffee going. And I got it going. While I'm getting my little coffee going, we've got a radio there, and I turn it on, and it's on BBN. It stays on BBN, unless we've got a CD playing in there. And we've got it going all day long throughout the house. I'm saying, listen, we've got the gospel. We want people to know we live in a Christian home. We want people to know that when they walk in there, they're walking into the presence of God. They're walking into a home that loves God and loves the Bible and listen, loves souls and loves the local church and loves the people of God. Listen, our homes need the gospel in it. Then the next D, look at it there. Our homes need the grace of God in it. If our homes are going to survive, we must have the grace, three things quickly, the grace to forgive, and the grace to forget, and the grace to forbear. I mean, just put up with one another, friend. The Bible says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Listen, I said this morning, we must embrace with grace. Listen, love your family, and caress your family, hug on your children, hug on your wife, and hug on your husband. Listen, friend, we must have the embrace with grace. There must be a touch with tenderness. There must be a kiss of kindness. Listen, show affection there in your home. Don't be afraid, friend, to hold your wife's hand or to hold your husband's hand. Don't be afraid, young man, to hug your mom or dad in public. Thank God. Listen, our home must have the grace of God inside if we're going to survive the storm that's coming. And then we looked at the letter E, and we talked about edification. E represents edification, which just simply means to build up. And we talked about Paul the Apostle two places there, the Word of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 8, and 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 10. In those two verses, Paul mentions edification, destruction. Paul draws a clear line of distinction between building someone up and tearing someone down. Listen, friend, let's get out the demolishing ministry. Amen. Let's get out the destruction ministry and let's get into construction ministry. Let's get into building people up. And listen, I said what's going on in your home will spill over into the house of God. And listen, what's happening in the car on the way to church, listen, it'll be happening in the house of God when you get here, friend. How much you know you just can't turn it on and turn it off. I can't take God off and put God on, friend. Listen, thank God Jesus moved in, sin moved out, the devil had to check out. I'm a brand new man. Thank God, friend, I'm a changed man. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, we need to have some edification. The Bible says, but charity edifies. The Bible says, edify one another. Let's quit tearing down each other. Let's do things that are good to the use of edifying, that we would encourage one another and compliment one another and be grateful and have a heart of gratitude for the things that our folks, our spouses, and our family does with inside the four walls of that home. If we're going to survive the storm, listen, there must be determination. There must be godly influence. There must be the gospel present. There must be the grace of God exercised. There must be edification. And then letter D, there must be discipline. Discipline. And we need to get on the same page. The Bible says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And there's got to be some discipline in our home. And we talked this morning about it. Discipline is not just about correction all the time. It's not just about spankings and corporal punishment, friend. As the Bible teaches, if we do it the Bible way, at least we'll have afterwards, it yieldeth the fruitful works of the fruitful works of righteousness, friend. And I want you to know, if we do it the Bible way, it'll be the right way. But understand this tonight. We need not just discipline as far as our children, our grandchildren, but we need self-discipline in our own life. How we live our life. Sometimes we can indulge ourselves too much in certain things. We can sit there all day and watch 12 hours of television, not get one thing done. Listen, you don't even have to think to watch TV. Do you know that? It's a no-brainer. You just sit there. The only thing you're thinking about is your glass is getting empty of a Pepsi Cola or Coca Cola. Your bowl is empty of chips and popcorn, and you got to decide whether or not you're going to get up and go get some. That's about the length of our thinking. Listen, we can indulge in a lot of things, friend. We've got to have self-discipline in our life, and we need some discipline when it comes to this matter of money. Listen, we can't live on a T-bone steak budget with a baloney income. Amen. I tell you what, listen, we've got to have some discipline. There may be some time, like Brother Paulie said last night, we may have to perform some plastic surgeries. Cut up some credit cards or whatever it may be. Listen, I've been there, our family's been there. We've been through all those things. We've had to deal with those corporations. We had to deal with those companies. And listen, friend, we had to use a card just to survive. We went through a financial reversal. We had one card. And we paid our house payment, we paid our light bill, we bought groceries, we put gas in our tank. We did that just to survive, to keep a roof over our head and clothes on our back and food on our table, friend. But listen, we got such a heap pile there that we got in trouble with that thing, and we had to settle with them, and we settled with them. Got it all taken care of. Thank God for that. Now, I'm telling you, it's no fun. It's no fun. So we need discipline in our home. Discipline in our home. Are you with me now? Listen, are you where we stopped this morning? Good. Let's look at the next word. Look at the next word. How to stormproof my home. I must determine. I must have godly influence, the gospel, the grace of God, edification, discipline. Look at the word deep. Deep. This guy didn't just get out and dig a hole. But the Bible emphasizes Luke here. Luke the physician under the inspiration of God. He emphasizes this guy dug deep. He dug deep. He went the second mile. He went beyond the status quo. Listen, he wasn't satisfied with just a little trench. He wanted to find the bedrock. He wanted to find a solid foundation for his home. He knew the storm was coming. He knew the storm was coming. But he wanted to find the rock there. And look at this word, deep here. What can this word represent for us tonight to have in our home? I believe, look at the letter D. Number one, I believe that we need diligence in our home. Diligence. The word diligence means to take care of, to heed, to give attention to. And listen, when we think about our families and our homes, listen, daddies, husbands, listen, we need to take care of our homes. We need to take heed to our homes. We need to give attention to our homes. Hold your place here. Turn with me quickly to Proverbs 27, verse 23. Look at Proverbs 27, 23. Proverbs 27:23. Ah, praise the Lord for this. Look here, Proverbs 27:23. The Bible says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds." Now, we can take this several different ways. We can take it as a farmer, looking over his flocks and looking over his herds. We can look at it from the standpoint of a pastor as an under-shepherd. We know the Lord Jesus is the great chief good shepherd, the Bible declares. But we know the pastor of a local church is the under-shepherd under Christ. And we can say it to a pastor, "Pastor, you need to take heed, be diligent to look out and take care of the flock and take care of the herd that God's given you. And make sure they're all right. Make sure they're not caught in the ditch somewhere, caught in the briar thicket of sin. Make sure they're all right. Make sure they're getting fed and getting watered. Make sure they're doing what they need to do. You make sure you watch over them and know the state, know the condition of your flock and of your herd." But then let's take it a step further. The husband, the father, is the priest of the home. You realize that, sir, tonight you're the priest of your home? And if you're the priest of your home, then therefore you're like the pastor of your home. And God says here, if we look here and make an application, we're just making applications here tonight out of this one verse. God will say to you and God will say to me as the husband, as the head of the house. God will say to me as the father, as the head of my children. God will say to me, "Son, make sure you, with diligence, you know the state, the condition. You know the state of your flock. Give attention." The word diligence again means to give attention to take care of, to heed. And in other words, make sure as a father, as a daddy, a husband, you look out for your family. You look out for your wife. You look out for your children. And you do all you can to protect them. And that's what a shepherd does. Listen, a shepherd, my friend, he sits over here on the hillside, and the sheep are grazing, and a wolf pokes his head out of the thicket. You think that shepherd's going to sit there? He's going to make a beeline straight down there. He's going to do all that he can to protect the little sheep. Listen, that's what God wants me to do as a father. God wants me to see any time a devil pokes his head out of the bush toward my home. Any time something comes in or creeps in my home that's not Christ-honoring and godly and builds us up but yet tears us down. God wants me to make sure that I with diligence look of the state of the flock that God's given me to take care of. You understand that tonight? If my family is going to survive the storm that's coming, then I've got to have some diligence there. Listen, more than our presence, our family needs our presence. You understand that? You can't buy love. You can't buy affection. You can't buy devotion. You can't buy loyalty. I'm telling you tonight, listen, diligently, we must diligently guard our homes and we must diligently guard our hearts. That's what we need in our homes. We need some diligence in our home. The Bible says about this man here. Now you can imagine, I wonder, and just let's just suppose here, this storm, this guy's digging a ditch, he's digging a trench, he's going to build his house. And maybe he's looked down the road away, and maybe he's read the Farmer's Almanac, and it says, listen, this portion of the season is going to be a very stormy time. And he's thinking, you know what, I'm in the process of building my home and I can't afford not to dig deep and put some diligence and put some back and determination in my digging efforts to make sure that I get my foundation built upon the rock because the storm's coming. And therefore, we need some diligence. Look at the letter E quickly. Look at the letter E in the word deep. Not only do we need diligence, but we need earnestly contending. Earnestly contending. In Jude there in verse 3, he talks about it was needful for me to write unto you about the common salvation. But he says, listen, I want to encourage and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. God would have us to earnestly contend. That word earnestly means to stand agonizingly. To stand seriously. Listen, friend, when you and I bring a child into this world, I want you to know we bring a living and an eternal soul into being. And that little child is going to spend somewhere in eternity whatever decision they make on the side of death or the rapture. You understand that? And therefore, we must earnestly contend for the faith. We must take it seriously because we know that the generation where we stop contending is the one generation that we lose. And therefore, there is no place to stop earnestly contending for the faith. Listen, if our homes are going to survive the storm that's coming, there's got to be some diligence. There's got to be some earnestly contending. And then look at the next letter, E, there. There's got to be some Christian education. Turn your Bibles right quick to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. There's got to be some education based upon the Word of God. Based upon the Word of God. A Christ-centered, Bible-based education. That's what's needed in our homes. Listen, friend, your child, you're trying to raise a child for the Lord. Listen, he or she will not survive when they get out from under your wings if you and I do not build a solid foundation in their life, a biblical foundation in their life. Look in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Look at this. And thou shalt teach them diligently. There's that word diligently again. Diligently unto who? Thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontless between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Here God is dealing with the education of our children. He says, take what you've been given, the words there. Verse 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. God says, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. The Bible says there in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The word nurture just simply means discipline. Bring them up in the discipline of the Lord. Bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. The word admonition just simply means counsel. He said, listen, I want you to know you must bring your children up. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. That doesn't mean that he won't get out here and do wrong and live a rebel's life. But while he's living that rebel, rebellious life, he won't be able to escape what you put in his heart and his mind. Won't be able to get away from it. That's what God means there in Proverbs 22:5. Train up a child the way he should go when he's old. He will not, in other words, he won't get away from it. Listen, I'm doing things right now that my mama put in me years ago. You understand that? I've not been able to get away from it. There are things, listen, my dad showed me and my dad told me that, listen, I'm 48 years old. I've not been able to get away from it. I tell you, listen, tramp a child the way he should go when he's old. He will not depart from it. It will always be there. We've got to declare. The Bible says in Psalm 78:6, declare them to their children. In Genesis 18:19, God says this about Abraham, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. How in the world is our children going to know to do right if we don't educate them? Can I use the word indoctrinate? Indoctrinate them in the Word of God. I mean, the word doctrine means teaching. The word doctrine is the glue that holds it all together. And I tell you, listen, the world's going to indoctrinate our children through music, through media. The world's going to indoctrinate our children through fashion and fads, through customs and culture. Listen, the world's going to indoctrinate our young folk from music videos to movie screens and Hollywood and Nashville and everything around the world. Listen, why don't God's people say, hey, you're not going to get my child. I'm going to teach them. I'm going to lay a solid foundation in their life so when they do get out from under our house, our roof of our house, they'll have a foundation to build upon. The storm's coming, friend. And the only way that we can storm-proof our homes is to have some diligence in it, have some earnestly contending in it, have some education in it. Listen, understand this about education. We only get one chance at it. When you look at your child, you look at your grandchildren, you only get one shot at them being educated, taught, trained. You only get one shot at it. I'm glad God's allowed our children to be able to go through Christian school, be able to graduate. Charity went to the first several few years to public school. I think by the time she got in the third grade, we were able to put her there at Rockwell Christian School. And it's not a perfect school, but it's a good school, I believe. Now, I want you to know, listen, we put her there. She graduated in 2004, went to Bible college. graduated with 2 degrees there in Bible college. Met James, got her first granddaughter, stood here tonight and sang. I was sitting there listening to Charity sing, and she sang in the college choir up there. They had one of the greatest music teachers there, and listened to her sing and hit her part and come in her place there, and I thought, you know, she's been trained, she's been taught. And, you know, just thank God for that. James did all right, you know. And but Charity, and I thought about that, you know. I thought about, thank God that we sacrifice. Man, we gave up things, you know. And I always tell her, I said, I had to sell my truck 1 year to pay her tuition there at the college. And I sold my truck to get the money to pay the tuition so she can stay there at college. I'm telling you, listen, the sacrifice was there, yes. But man, look at the dividend. I'm telling you, look at the benefits of it. I mean, listen, the reality outweighs the dream. Amen? Now, I tell you what, thank God for that. And so listen, we only get one shot at it. And do all you can to give your child a Christian education. A Christian education. I understand not everyone could afford. And we couldn't afford. I still don't know how in the world Charity got through college. As she worked her way through college and working there on campus and little odd jobs there with secretarial work. And we did all we could down here. And I still, to God be the glory, I still to this moment don't know how her bill was all paid the time she got those diplomas that night. Now, you know, we don't know what Titus is going to do. You know, I don't know. He's just going to have to do his own deal, I guess. One time, I mean, it just like to kill us one time, you know. I don't know how many, but anyway. Do you think about the sacrifice? The sacrifice. I mean, thank God, listen, and, you know, we do all we can to protect our children. And, you know, and some people say you're just overprotective and over. I don't think we can ever get overprotective, friend. The devil, he's walking back and forth my home 1,000 times. And he's waiting on just one time I leave the gate unlocked. And when I leave that gate cracked, he's going to step right in there and get right inside there, try to destroy my family. I've got to be on guard. I've got to have diligence. I've got to earnestly contend. Listen, we've got to educate our children and give them a Christian education. Then look at the letter P there in deep. Of course, you probably already guessed what this word's going to be. Pray. Pray. Listen, if our families are going to survive the storms from here to glory, there's going to be a time of prayer. We've got to pray. I want you to take your Bibles right quick and let me just show you a verse here in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel. I love 1 Samuel, the first part. Well, I love all of it, but especially the first part when Hannah goes there. And the Bible says that she's broken. She's in bitterness of soul. Her womb is barren. And listen, in the Old Testament days, and even in that culture, if a woman's womb, if she was barren, then she was very looked down upon. I mean, she was very despised. A woman that couldn't have child, you know, they were very humiliated in public. And here Hannah's womb had been shut up. And the adversary had come and afflicted her in chapter 1. And, of course, we know the story. But notice with me here in verse 12. The Bible says in chapter 1, verse 12, 1 Samuel, and it came to pass as she continued what? Praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Eli marked her mouth. He saw her lips move is what it means. And then on there in verse 14, Eli, you know, of course, he's a backslidden priest. He thought she had been drunk. Verse 15, Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I poured my soul out before the Lord. That word poured out means gushed out. I've literally gushed out my soul before God. She prayed. And guess what? Look at verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass, time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare what? A son. Called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And probably the most tender, one of the most tender verses in the Word of God is verse 27 and 28. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. She didn't ask just for a baby or a child, but she said, Lord, I want a son, I want a boy. And what did God give her? God gave her a son. She said, I'm going to call him Samuel. Because I've got him from the Lord. Look at verse 28. Therefore, also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. Look at that. And he worshiped the Lord there. Think of that. Here Hannah prayed for her family. Here God heard her prayers. And she said, here's the child that I prayed, and God has given me my petition. She said, now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take him, and I'm going to lend him back to God. She said, as long as he lives, he'll always be lent to God. I like that word, lent. He'll always be lent to God. He'll always belong to God. He'll always be available for God and however and whatever God wanted to use. Then look at verse 1 of chapter 2. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord of my mouth. And my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. Think of that there. She said, I prayed. I prayed for my family, and God's heard my prayer, and God's granted my request, and I've given my child back to God, and yet I still pray. She's still praying. If our families are going to survive, and of course Samuel was the first high priest that came on the scene here, and God used Samuel in a mighty way. And read the story, read the life of Samuel, and I'm telling you, God used him in a mighty way, but it was all because of a silhouette shadow on the bended knee there. Here little Hannah was praying, and if our family is going to survive the storm, there our homes must have prayer in them. Have prayer in them. The Bible says there in Genesis 25:21, I like this here, Isaac and Rebekah. Isaac and Rebekah were husband and wife. And the Bible says this in Genesis 25:21 about Isaac. The Bible says, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. What does that mean? That just simply means Isaac was praying for Rebekah. He was entreating. He was entreating the Lord for his wife. He was praying to God for his wife. Not about his wife, but for his wife. That had already been married. Think of this here. Here a husband is on his knees, asking God to help his wife. Asking God, no doubt, to encourage her, to bless her womb, to give fruit there of the womb. And here God teaches us in the Word of God that if our families are going to survive the storm, listen, we've got to dig deep. We've got to dig deep. There's going to be some determination. There's going to be some godly influence. There's got to be the gospel and the grace and edification. There's got to be some discipline. There's got to be some diligence. There's got to be some earnestly contending. Listen, there's got to be a work in our life and what God does here, the things that God wants. There's got to be some Christian education. There's got to be some praying going on if our homes are going to survive the storms of life. Go back to Luke right quick. Let's close her out here. The Bible says there in Luke 6 that this man, he dig deep. And when this man dig deep, he found that there he found his hope in Christ. Because we know that Christ is the rock of ages. You see, a firm foundation will keep us steady. A firm foundation will keep us secure. A firm foundation will keep us safe when the storms and the streams, as he says here, the streams of life afflict us. The solid foundation will bring comfort and hope and peace and rest and joy. I don't know about you, but I want those things in my home. I don't know about you, but I want my home to survive the storms of life. I want to encourage you tonight to build your home on determination. Stay the course. Stay with it. See it through. Seek the face of God together. Survive the quitting spots. Have godly influence there in your home. Listen, have the gospel presented there. Have the gospel present. Have the grace of God. Have the edification, the biblical discipline. Have the diligence and the earnestly contending and the Christ-centered, Bible-based education. And of course, have prayer. The Bible says, or not Bible, but the expression of family that prays together, what? Stays together. Family that prays together stays together. The 10 things that is needed, I really believe that God's given these, the 10 things that are needed to survive life storms. Let me ask you tonight, is your home stormproof tonight? Can you also say that we've got all 10 of these operating in our home? And no matter the storm, or the sickness, financial reversal, job loss, bad doctor's report, troubled out the house, troubled out the schoolhouse, troubled out the church house, trouble in the White House. Listen, no matter where it is, my home and our life is built upon the solid foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have these 10 truths, these 10 ingredients, these 10 building materials in our home that will help us weather the storms of life.